The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
This is prime time on Money FM 89.3. It's time for our weekly segment where we speak to BBC journalists about the international stories they're tracking in the week ahead. We're joined today by broadcast journalist Peter Ross. Peter, thank you always for your insights.
Hello, good morning.
It's afternoon here where we are, and of course, good morning to you where you are. And it feels like some progress, let's start with COVID stories from around the world, some progress is being made in the fight against COVID-19 following recent promising news on potential vaccines. What are the latest global developments today that you're seeing?
That's right. This morning we woke up here in the UK to learn that Oxford University announced that the vaccine it's been working on is 70% effective with people developing COVID symptoms, according to large-scale trials. Now that will be seen, I guess, as good and bad news in some ways, given that previous vaccines we've learned about in the last couple of weeks, including the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines, they showed 95% protection. However, the reason to feel positive about this at Oxford jab, as it were, is that according to the academics there, the officials there, this vaccine will be far cheaper than those Pfizer and Moderna ones I just mentioned, and also it will be far easier to store as well. You might remember that those previous vaccines, Pfizer, Moderna, others, they need to be stored at incredibly cold temperatures.
Yeah.
Well, we're learning that this Oxford jab, that's not going to be the case. And that means that it'll be far easier to get the jab out to parts of the world where it'll be difficult to keep, you know, vaccinations at very cold temperatures.
Mm. What about back in the UK as well? Any news on the Prime Minister's Christmas present, if you will? There's an announcement coming up, isn't there?
I think Christmas present is exactly the right way to put it. The newspapers here in the UK, both yesterday and today, have been dominated about positive headlines about the Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, saving Christmas. In fact, I think the Daily Express described it exactly as that. Now, we haven't had an announcement yet, but we hear that we're going to hear later today that the Prime Minister is going to announce that the lockdown restrictions in England that are currently enforced until the 2nd of December, they're going to be lifted. And they're going to be lifted to a certain extent. Things like pubs will reopen, non-essential shops will reopen as well to allow people to get out and buy Christmas presents. But the key thing that we're hearing is that there could be a little bit of a respite from restrictions over the Christmas period, allowing families to gather in larger numbers than they've been able to for months and months, perhaps to see granny and granddad and spend some time with them. Now, critics of that would say, well, the virus does not take a holiday.
That's true.
Yeah, exactly. The virus doesn't take a holiday. If you let people out of the house to get onto trains, the buses, to travel around the country, then you're going to see that infection rate rise again, which is exactly the reason to push that infection rate down that we've all been staying in the house. But the supporters of the government, supporters of Mr. Johnson, say that the country needs this, that we've been going for months and months and months under tight restrictions. People are really losing their patience with it. And if you give them a few days off at Christmas, it will fortify them and give them the sort of energy to kind of carry on and keep going with lockdown, because it's suggested that while things will get eased off at Christmas, they'll go back into tight restrictions after January, possibly as long as until Easter.
Is that what people are expecting from also the Prime Minister's COVID winter plan that details will be detailed later on today with members of Parliament?
That's it exactly. What we're expecting to hear is that, for example, pubs and non-essential shops will reopen, so that's good news for people that want to get out there and buy presents, as I said, and also that the pubs and restaurants will reopen. Now, you might remember we had some issues here in the UK that pubs had to close at 10 o'clock at night, and critics of that, well, one in the restaurants and pub industry were saying, look, that's when a lot of our business happens. Particularly restaurants were saying, if you close us at 10 o'clock, we're not going to get a lot of customers. It's almost not worth us with our time opening up financially. We're now hearing, though it's yet to be confirmed, that while pubs will have to stop taking orders at 10 o'clock, customers will be allowed to stay in the restaurant for one or the pub for one extra hour to finish that drink or a meal, which will hopefully reduce the numbers of people running for buses and taxis and tube trains all at the same time, which again, people were saying, well, why close things down at that time? It just makes lots of people gather outside while they're waiting to go home.
It's such a hard balance to strike, isn't it, between public health and economic health. So switching gears now, Peter, later today we'll see the latest twist in the trial of the chief financial officer of Chinese telecoms giant Huawei. She's trying to avoid extradition from Canada to the United States. Pete, remind us what this trial's about and what we're expecting later today.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, Huawei, first of all, has been in the headlines for months and months, if not for the last couple of years. But it doesn't seem that long ago that I had to look up Huawei in the BBC pronunciation guide to figure out exactly how to say it. But now it's on everybody's lips, isn't it? And I think key to the Huawei story is the arrest of Meng Huanzhou in Canada, back at Vancouver Airport at the end of 2018. U.S. authorities wanted her on charges of fraud, and so Canada detained her, and then later the following year, 2019, a Canadian court ruled that she should be extradited to the United States. So what's happening today? She appealed that. She says she's done nothing wrong, so does the company. She's appealed that decision, and we're in court today. We're in court last week in a Canadian court listening to witness testimony. We're going to hear more today. Now, the thing to say is this case is going to drag on for quite some time, it's expected. But it just puts Huawei back into the headlines for probably all the wrong reasons for them.
Yeah.
And, it's significant on the international stage because you might remember when the arrest was made of Ms. Meng, that just shortly after that, China retaliated, or critics saw that as China retaliating in an escalating diplomatic row. They detained two Canadian citizens, Michael Spavor and Michael Kovrig, on what the Chinese officials say is espionage charges. They still remain in detention in China. It was seen as, a bit of hostage diplomacy by some commentators on the region. And again, as I say, while this case is going to probably, go on for quite some time, it just puts Huawei back in the headlines. It just puts the spotlight back on again, that company, and the issues that it has, internationally. You look at the U.S., Huawei's, President Trump has been, over the terms of his presidency, has been very sort of anti-Huawei and has banned them from their 5G networks. Here in the U.K., the same thing. They're allowed to take part in some of our networks, but not all. So, just more bad, publicity for Huawei, I guess, or not the kind of, reason they'd want to be in the news.
Yeah. Also this coming weekend, Switzerland will vote in a referendum which, if passed, would make Swiss businesses legally and financially liable for human rights abuse or environmental damage anywhere in their supply chains. Pete, that sounds intriguing. Tell us more.
Yeah, it is intriguing, but you could also be forgiven for thinking a Swiss referendum. Why should I be interested in that? And also, to be fair, you might be in Switzerland thinking the same thing, because the Swiss, believe it or not, are actually quite fond of their referendums. They've had several there this year already. However, I think the reason that this one is particularly interesting is because it points to a sort of global trend in the demands from consumers and the demands that consumers are putting on large corporations, big companies, about where their products come from and how they're made. So as you said, this referendum, which is taking place this weekend, Swiss are going to vote on, if it's passed, it will make Swiss businesses legally and financially liable for the human rights and environmental damage anywhere in their supply chain. So essentially what that means is if there's a worker in a factory, say somewhere, for example, in Southeast Asia, who's, not being, having to work in dangerous conditions, that person would have the right, if they're making a product which is then sold in Switzerland, to take their issue or their case to the Swiss courts. Now, that goes far further than anything else, say, in Europe. So if the law is passed, and it's looking quite likely, latest polls show around 63% of public support, if a country like Switzerland in Europe passes such stringent laws, you might see other European countries follow suit. And, again, as I said, this just points to a growing trend of consumers demanding to know more from retailers. Only last week we had the example, there was a BBC investigation that uncovered workers at factories in India supplying big supermarket chains here in the UK, Marks and Spencer's you may have heard of, Tesco, Sainsbury's, Ralph Lauren, the fashion brand. The BBC spoke to workers in factories in India that said they were being, you know, in awful working conditions, being forced to stay overnight to complete orders, sometimes requiring them to sleep on the factory floor. Now, if those garments were getting made in the UK, I think you could strongly argue that workers in factories in the UK are not being made to sleep on the floor before finishing their orders. So, you know, we're just seeing increasing examples of this being very important to consumers. Almost, you could say, they're less concerned about price and more concerned about this.
Broadcast journalist Peter Ross joining us today from the BBC. Always a pleasure, Peter. Stay safe.
You too. Thanks for having us.
This is Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.